Okay, we're picking up for the Gemara in Kuf Lamed Gimel Beis. We're 4 lines from the bottom. The words of Venosna Lea Is Balanis. This is referring to Yolada place a bandage on the wound of the baby who had had the Mila. The Gemara now discusses different type of bandages. What's Amar Abaye? Amrali Aim. And whenever Abaye refers to his mother, usually it's almost always going to refer to the nurse who raised him, his stepmother. So that's over here as well. So he's referring to his stepmother, told him, that if you have a bandage for all the pains, made of shavminei tarba v'chadakira, so that it's made of 7 parts of fat and 1 part of wax. Apparently, that this is the way it was said over. Rashi says, Rav Amar Kira v'kal b'rishina. Rav said, the best way to make it is if you have wax and sap, that's the best way to have this type of bandage, that's the best way to heal it. Mark Tinus Darsha Rava Mechozer. So Rava taught this, it was apparently a thing that wasn't known, and he taught it in a shir, and everyone knew about it. Karino Bene Meyumne Aslam Nayo. So the Vrema Meyumne, they were the doctors in the town, they had this secret way of healing people, so they got kilo, they tore their garments in sadness over the fact that their secret was out and they were going to lose all their business and all their money. Amar Lehu, so Rava said to them, Shavka Lechulchata, so there's one secret I still didn't tell anyone. Shmuel says, "Hi, man, de mashe ape velonaga of tuva. Someone who washes his face and doesn't dry it well, nakture lay." Turning on to the next level now, chaspenisa. That if you're going to have these type of boils, that's a Rashi explains. The Aruch explains this type of scab that's going to develop on your face. Maita kante. So how do you heal yourself? How do you heal this? So this is what he's telling him, that he didn't darish in mechosa. Lemishe tuva b'maya desilka. So if you wash your water in beets that have been cooked, apparently that would be the healing. And I didn't tell that to everyone. Interesting. Why he decided not to tell anyone? It would benefit the rabbin, but either way, we see that he did not tell everyone this healing, so he told only these doctors about it. The Gemara continues, "Lo shak marav Shabbos, everyone to crush the kumon on erev Shabbos, you're allowed to chew it with your teeth." The Gemara says, "Tanu rabbanim, dvarim shein osin lamila b'Shabbos, osin labiyomta." There are certain things which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, you'll still be allowed to do on Yomta. What would that be? Example: shochkin la kumon v'terfon l'yan v'shemen. You're allowed to crush the kumon for the bandage for the mila, and also you're allowed to mix this with wine and oil. So Gemara says, "Amar le Abaye, little of Yosef, ma'ishna kimon biyomta." So what's the reason that kumin being different on Yantiv? Dechazel k'dira. So Yain v'shemen nami chazel l'chola. So wait a second, because kumin is fit to cook, it's a great cooking, therefore it's permitted to cook on Yantiv. So therefore, if you're crushing in a normal manner, that would be part of mitoch. So since a mitoch, it would bepashes at all. It wouldn't be an issur at all whatsoever to grind it. So the Gemara says, so here also Yain v'shemen is chazin nami shabbos l'chola, that if you have wine and oil, it's going to be totally mutter for a chola. Rashi points out a chola in Bosakana to take this. The Tanya we learn in the Brisa, in Torfin Yan Vishem Lachola B'Shabbos, we're not allowed to mix the oil and wine for a sick person on Shabbos. Amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar Mishun Rabbi Meir, Shalazar Zan Rabbi Meir, Af Torfin Yan Vishem, and you're allowed to mix the oil and wine for a sick person. Over here, we're discussing mixing it thoroughly. So according to that, you would be allowed to do it for a sick person because Rav Meir holds that the Dinder Abanan against mixing wine and oil doesn't apply to a chole. So the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Pamachas Chash Rabbi Meir B'Meir." So one time, Rabbi Meir was very in a lot of pain. Bikashlo Chofel Yad V'Shem, and he wanted to mix the oil and wine as he should, as he would hold that he would. Lo Enichu, and he didn't allow himself. Amar Lo Devar, and he didn't allow us to do it for him. Amar Lo Devar Chali Bet Lo B'Chayecha. So why? This is your shita. Your holder mayor is allowed to be makil. So why didn't you? Why aren't you makil? Amar La Amar Lanu Alva Bishani Omer Kach LeChaverim Kach. So instead I say this, and the Chacham disagree with me, I still not going to follow my own shita or machmir, and not leave over what my other chaver, I literally my friends, but the other 10 I'm hold. So the Gemara says, I ninu de machmir nashay of alukuli amashari. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rav Meir is the one who's strict with regards to himself about mixing oil and wine. However, he's going to permit it for everyone else. Why does the Mishnah seem to indicate otherwise? Rashi points out that Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The Stam Mishnah is Rabbi Meir, so that our Mishnah teaches us that that mixing the oil and wine is allowed to be done only in separate bowls. So the Gemara answers now, Hasam lo bai licha hacha bai licha. There's a fundamental difference that when referring to the Brisa, that we're talking about it for sick people in general, the mixture of oil and wine doesn't require to beat it very strongly. It doesn't need to be done very thoroughly. However, hacha bai licha, when it comes to the Mishnah, I'm talking about someone who's mal, the mixture does need to be done very thoroughly, and therefore Rabbi Meir is going to say that it's usher. That's why the Mishnah indicates the Stam Mishnah over here doesn't get that's going to be usher to mix it. So hachanami na'avid v'lo leilech, but the Gemara says, why does the case of Mila prepare the mixture of oil and don't do it very thoroughly? The Gemara says, I know the Ketanim, Nosin zebif neatzov zeb neatzov. The Gemara says, "Enachanami." Yes, that's true. That when you put them together and you don't mix them thoroughly, it won't necessarily be the issue of the isra derabanan of creating this problem of mixing it very thoroughly. That wouldn't necessarily be this issue whatsoever. So we just point out over here that the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, or Rabbi Yosha just quotes this, that refua b'shabbos is going to be mutter if a person is a chola she'in bo sakana. We see clearly that the Gemara says Roy Lechola, or obviously Choljesh was something of Shaila. So we see that if a person is a Nafa Lemishkav, he's going to be in bed because he's in so much pain, even though he's not in Sakana, he'd still be mutter to do refuah on Shabbos. That's what we see clearly, that this Chazi for a sick person, that's what the Gemara comes out from here as well. That's the Shaila in general, that when you're going to be considered a Mechush Balma, even though you're in pain, it might be just considered regular pain, not a whole Lemishkav. Let's say it would be very Nogay, a lot of people get very big migraines. At what point are you a chol mishkav, or are you just mechush balma? That is a very big question. And also, if you know you'll become into that situation, there's also more room to make of not getting all these pratim right now. Okay, the Gemara continues now. The Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Ein mesananis chardel b'masanis tershalot. The person's not allowed to strain mustard in a strainer on yantiv. The Gemara says, Ve'im ha'tikin osa b'gacheles, and you're not allowed to sweeten it with a burning coal either. So apparently, when you would taste better, if you use a burning coal, by the mustard seeds. So doing that is going to be the Isser of Kiboy, which is going to be Usser at this point. The Gemara says, Amar le'abayel of Yosef, Maishna mehadisna nosnim beitza bisanes shel chardel. The Gemara says, but what's the difference between this brisa and what we learn in the Mishnah, that if someone is allowed to put a raw egg into a mustard strainer and strain in order to improve the mustard's appearance? Since this is mutter even on Shabbos, so then obviously we'd say kol shagain, she mutter on yantav. So why should this Usser on yantav? The Gemara says, Amar le, hasam lemechse kibora. In the case of the egg, it doesn't appear like you're doing the lacha of bor. Bor is sorting the bad from the good. Over here, based on the Gemara later on, we'll see that, is that that really the iser is because you're taking the bad from the good. Here, it's both good. Since you're separating two equally good parts, that's not considered bor. If you take two things that you want, that's not considered bor. Hacha mechse bor over here, the mustard seed looks like you're sorting it, so then it looks like you're bor, but you're not actually doing bor. The Gemara, so Tosfos point out, why not? Why aren't you, in the mustard seed, you're separating the mustard seed from the strainer, so why isn't that an Isser d'oraisa? So Tosfos point out, because the psolas apparently is ro'i le'achila. It's not really bad. You can't say it's bad from the good, so this psola, the bad part that you're taking away, is ki'ilu bad, but it really is edible, and since it's edible, apparently it's not going to be the Isser d'oraisa of bor. Continues the Gemara now quoting the Mishnah. Brisa rather, ve'im amtikin also b'gacheles, you're not allowed to sweeten it with a burning coal. Tanya, but the Brisa says, amtikin also b'gacheles, you are allowed to sweeten the mustard seed with a burning coal. What's the answer? The Gemara says, lo kasha. So here we're talking about a case of the metal coal, and we're going to be talking about the case of a wooden coal. What's the difference? Rashi points out that when you have the melacham being done, it's all about creating a charcoal. So since if you're going to create something that has charcoal, i.e. wood, that would be is usser. However, the metal, which is not going to be creating charcoal, that would be mutter, and it wouldn't be the isser of kiboy. So based on this Rashi, there's a kula that I finally want to bring, that if you do the kiboy, the extinguishing might not be an isser if it's never going to lead to any creating any charcoal, which might be a big heter for turning off the gas. Not getting into this right now. Really, there's a very lot of rachmanim discuss this, but this is a Rashi that's important to note. The Gemara says, I'm really a bailer of Yosef. Maishna bebisra agmure. So what's the difference between that we allow you to roast meat on the coals, which is going to be done, even though the juice is going to drip down, Rashi says, and it's going to extinguish the wooden coals. Why is that okay? The Gemara says, Amar Leh, Hasam Lo Efshar. That case is impossible on Yom Tov to have it be tasty. It's, we want it to be better. If you want the food to be we know Ochel Nefesh is mutter only if it's done in the best fashion on Yom Tov. If it could be done just as well on Erev Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do it on Yom Tov. So there, they have a fresh piece of meat that's grilled, tastes delicious. So even though the juices are going to, the meat are going to go down and lower the, and really even extinguish the coals, that's going to be mutter. However, halcha efshar here, in the case of the mustard, it's mutter, it's efshar to do it in Erev Yom Tov, so therefore in Yom Tov itself it's going to be usher. I believe we hold that only an Isser derabanan, that if you did it, if you could have done it before, but you do it, decide to do it on Yom Tov, nonetheless, it's still usher, but that is still the point. Rashi, again, this was all of Elibud Rashi, that Rashi points out that you'd be allowed to do malacha of kiboy because of pashtus of mitoch. However, the Rif disagrees with Rashi, but we pass on like Rashi that kiboy under certain circumstances, some types of kiboy would be mutter on yantiv. The more continues on Amrle Abayler of Yosef. Ma'ale Gabin, what's the halacha about making cheese on yantiv? Amrle Aser, Yosef answered it's going to be Aser. The more says, wait a second, Maishna Melisha, but what's the difference between that and kneading dough for baking bread, which is going to be mutter on yantiv? So cheese is similar to kneading, so why is it Aser to make cheese? So again, the Isra is the cheese. We saw this before a little bit in the Gemara. Discusses this that when you squeeze the curd together to form one mass, that is the issue that's similar to the malacha of exactly what you've done is bone, or that's the I think the Tosafot said over there. So that's the Isra of making cheese on Shabbos. So what about he was asking about Yontif, and he's saying it's Ochon Nefesh. Why is it any different than making bread? Amarlei Hasam Lo Efshar Achashu. He gave the same answer that we saw before with regards to the cooking of the meat. That bread, who doesn't like a fresh challah that's just baked right now? So it's totally mutter. However, when it comes to making cheese, it's just as good Erev Yom Tov. The Gemara says, "V'ha'amrin Ardai Gvina Bas Yom Ma'alia." So the Gemara says, "Wait a second! The Ardai used to say that freshly baked cheese is delicious. So meaning, it sounds like the cheese is better if it's only a day old." So the Gemara answers, "No." So Hachakamra, this is what they were saying: "The Afilu Gvina Bas Yom Ma'alia," that even freshly baked cheese is good, but really cheese 2 days ago is even best, is better than that. So therefore, we're saying that it's really efshar to do before and better to do it before. So therefore, you would have no heter of making cheese on yantiv. Ein osim chalak, we quoted the Mishnah, continuing the Mishnah, we said they're not allowed to make this type of pouch bandage for the makom amila, right? So you're not allowed, but you're allowed to put a piece of cloth and wrap it around it. So the Gemara continues and verses, a lot of we're going to have now here, like the whole rest of the summit over here until we get to the next mission on the top of the next summit is going to be advice from Abaye's stepmother. So Amar Abaye, I'm really aim. My stepmother told me, "Hay chaluk diyon kalafnei listra la'ayal dilma midbek radamina." So if you have the hem of the infant's bandage over here, you should turn it over, because if you turn it over, it's going to be if you don't do that, then a thread is going to stick out and it's going to touch the wound and make it dangerous. Vazla de kroshivcha, and what's going to happen? You can have the infant chas v'shalom would become mutilated. Ema d'abaye avde kisisa lapago. So it says that by his mother specifically, she would make a lining for half the bandage and only place it over half, because if she felt it done over the whole one, that would be problematic. That's the gear. So we have something. I think let's go with our gears. I'm gonna buy how you know could the lace like chaluk lace belosa the isla shivcha lichashut the taita va'ayflei le'elia. That if someone has, if you have a baby who has this pouch and what, and you, so what do you do for it? You should bring this like worn out garment and you that it has a hem specifically, and you tie the hem around the bottom and you'll tie it over at the top where it also. If you have a baby who's behind is not to, you can't tell, apparently there is a medical condition like this, with oil and stand against the sun, and where the skin appears to be see through. So you should tear it across, and then in the size of a barley grain, which apparently is going to be also actual head. Sorry, not just size. The head of the barley grain, which is going to be sharp. However, you shouldn't do it with a metal kli, because if you do that, it'll apparently cause it to blow up, to get inflamed, in which case it would be unhealthy. Another advice: if the baby can't breastfeed, it's because his mouth is cold. It's apparently also medically true. Maya takante, so what do you do to make it better for the baby not to be cold in order to want to nurse from its mother? Lese kasa gumay, so bring a cup of burning coals. Linkud lahade pume dechaim pume umayit. So what do? You put it near the baby's mouth, and when you're doing that, the baby's mouth will become warm, and then the baby will nurse no problem. My mother also told me, hayanuka delo minashti, if the baby doesn't breathe, with a fan, and you'll be able to breathe. Rabbi also said that his mother also said that if you have a baby who doesn't breathe easily, you should bring the baby's afterbirth and you slide it over the baby's skin, and then the baby will breathe better. My mother also told me, if you have a baby that's very weak and small, you should bring his mother's afterbirth, you put it on the side of the baby's, the narrow end of the baby to the wide end of the baby, the infant is apparently like over bloated, let's say, so then then you should rub it on the wide end, on the narrow end. Another piece of advice. If baby is red, the kasi lo ible beit dama. That means the blood isn't absorbed in the baby. And then what's the problem? So you should not do the mila. Rather, you should wait till the blood is absorbed in the mala and only do the mila afterwards. The yarok vakasi nafal beit dama. Also, if the baby is yellow, or yarok is usually sometimes a green, but here means yellow really. It's going to show that he's lacking in blood. So then you should wait till he has a full amount of blood, and only then should you mal him. This is according to Shulchan Aruch, very lemaisa. That's the condition of the baby being yellow. Whenever you say the baby's yellow and you're not sure the birth is going to be on time, that is based on this Gemara, which leads into the general shaila about the medical practices of the Gemara. If you don't have the scientific evidence nowadays that there would be any issue with that, do you have to be choshish with that? Most poskim assume that you should be. However, there's the more Rav Shechter and other Shlitas, other Gedolim who hold it less so. I'm not sure, I never specifically asked about this case, but Lechora, I'm not sure how medically proven this idea is that this baby's yellow, that there'd be an issue doing the Mila. Either way, the Gemara continues, Dishani Amar Rav Nasan, Pamachas Lach Lekarchi, and one time I went to a coastal city. So she had two babies, and they both died. So she brought me the third baby, seeing to do what I could see what I could do. Right? So she Adam, I saw that he was red. So what I tell them, Amarti la Hemtina Achivla Bodamo, I said, she wait till the blood becomes more absorbed in his body. Hemtina Achivla Bodamo, so the blade of the blood became more and absorbed. So they waited and they listened to my advice, and they actually called him Nasan Abavli after me because they viewed it as if I saved the baby. That's a big shaila. Usually, the Gemara, based on the Gemara Nivamos, we assume that after two times, it's already considered a sakana for a family to give mila to their children. How is he allowed to give Mila? But nobody has a whole shayla about that. Maybe Rav Nachman knew based on specifics, because if there are two children who die from Mila, we generally assume you're not supposed to give the third one a baby, the third baby a Mila, because we assume it's dangerous for that. Either way, the market industry, Pamachas, allowed me to say I'm Kuputkia. I went to a place in Kuputkia. Mark and Kuzub was talking about this place. Uvasa Isha Achas Afanim. Woman came before me. Shalma Bana Rishon Umes. Shemala Bana Rishon Umes. She did it for the first two children. They both died from Mila. They brought the third one before me. I saw that he was yellow. So I looked very close at him. I didn't see that he had any blood. So I waited till he has more blood. He has more of a blood flow. And then do the Mila. So the same thing happened and the baby lived. They called him Nasan Bavli after me. So it's very nice that I saved these two babies. Okay, now we are ready to continue to the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us, you allow to bathe the baby in the hot water both before the meal and after the meal. They used to assume, apparently, that this was something that was extremely critical to the baby's health. Already in the Shulchan Aruch, they've already pointed out that the Matzias has changed, apparently. So we see another example of that, where we assume already the medical Matzias is different, and therefore we do not assume that you would have to do this as a necessity for the baby's health. So they used to do it before, they used to bathe him, and usually the bathing would be an iser of going in a hot bath on Shabbos. So then, mizalfin alav b'kli, you gotta sprinkle the hot water on him with a hand and not with a kli. The Gemara is going to ask, what do you mean? It sounds like over here you're not allowed to bathe him, and we just said before you're allowed to bathe him. The Gemara is going to ask it right away. Rabbi Lazar ben Azari omer, marchitin akatan b'yom ha-shishi shechalias b'shabbos, you're allowed to bathe the baby on the third day after the Shabbos, and emar v'yom ha-shishi v'yosam koavim. And the Davka on the third day, they were in pain. This is talking about the city of Shechem, which Shimon and Levi had killed. They said the Davka, they decided to kill them on the third day. They were in extreme pain. Machlokas Rishonim, whether this pasuk is telling that they exist also on the third day, and obviously the first and the second, or maybe it's Davka saying on day one and day three, but not on day two. I think the Rambam holds the second way. And Rashi, another Rishonim, the first way. So the Gemara continues, Savik van Driganus, if you have someone, we're going to see who that is, but the Savik is someone who's born before the ninth month. If he's born in the eighth month, apparently we assume at that point that the child being born then is in a lot of danger, wherefore halachically is not considered alive for the halacha of giving him a meal on Shabbos. We don't give him a meal on Shabbos. And also an Adriganus, as Adriganus is someone who has signs of both male and female organs, and we're not sure what he is, if he's a male or a female. In Machal of Shabbos, you're not going to be Machal Shabbos. Rabbi Yehuda Matir Madriganus, the Gemara is going to learn out the sheet where Rabbi Yehuda got that from and where the Chachamim got it from. The Gemara says, Vamat Resha Marchitin. Whereas we're usually off, that's the first question. Is the first way we say you're allowed to bathe Marchitin, and then you say Mizalfin, that after you're only allowed to sprinkle. Which is it? Are you allowed to bathe the baby totally, or are you only allowed to sprinkle him by the hand? So the Gemara answers, and where says Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Maravua, Demertavayu, Ketza, Tane. The Lashon of the Mishnah is telling you how. How do you do this bathing that we're allowing you to do? It's Marchez and Akat, and Bain Lifna, Mila, Ben Lachar, Mila, Ketza. So you're allowed to bathe the baby both before the actual bris. And after the bris, how does that happen? Mazalfin alav biyad ava lo b'kli. You're allowed to sprinkle the hot water on him. However, you're not allowed to use a kli, and then you're not allowed to bathe though. The Gemara says, wait a second, that's not the lashon of bathing though. The lashon of the Mishnah was clear that we use the lashon of bathing, which implies that you're allowed to bathe the infant, the baby, in a normal bath, in a normal way you would be giving him the bath, not in this way of sprinkling. So the Gemara says, this is what the Mishnah is telling you. The Mishnah is telling you, you're allowed to bathe the baby, whether before or after the bris mila, the first day, normal way, totally normal. If the third day happens to fall on Shabbos, you'd be allowed to sprinkle the hot water on him by your hand, but not by a kli. Allowed to do it on the third day as well, because the pasuk says the third day when they were in a lot of pain. So the Gemara continues, Tanakh Masa de Rava, we have a Bryce supporting Rava. Marchitz and Nakadu B'nei Mechamil. We have allowed to bathe the baby both before and after the bris mila. That is the Tanakhama holds you only allowed to sprinkle in. However, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Marchitz and Nakatan be Yomash Shishit Leos Chalios B'Shavis V'Av. So that's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds. Alpi Shein Raila Davar Zechel Davar Shinemram Yomay Yomash Shishit V'Yos and Kovim. We don't have a full-fledged proof from the Pasuk, but there seems to be an indication of remez like that in the fact that the Pasuk said the third day they were in a lot of pain. That's what Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is saying. Shemazalfin, when they sprinkle the hot water on the baby, Emazalfin lo bakos lo kara b'lo b'kli ela b'yad. You should dafka use something by hand. Don't use, it has to be enough of a shinoi to be using your hand. So the Gemara continues more than Asana Tanakama with the last ruling, just to point out, when they said that you sprinkle, you should only sprinkle with your hand, that obviously is only according to the Tanakama, because as we mentioned, when it comes to the sheet of Rabbi Elazar is allowing you to bathe normally on the third day, so you obviously have no shilas about sprinkling. So the Gemara says, the way is like, Ma af bishin ra'il davar zeichel davar. Why isn't it a good proof from the Lashon of the Pasuk? The third Pasuk says explicitly, the Pasuk tells you that on the third day there's a lot of pain for bris mila. So Rabbi Elazar is a very good time now. You should be able to take a normal bath. You don't have to do the bichoshish that we're taking a bath the normal way. So the Gemara says, you're right. But however, mishum de gadalo salik bisra, I katan salik le bisra, haya, rather. So that when it comes to the gadol, that only him's not going to heal as quickly. The child, their body heals much quicker. That's scientifically proven also. Children's bodies heal very, very quickly. So maybe there you should argue that for the third day it's not going to be as painful. You don't have to be worried about that for a child specifically. The Gemara continues now talking about a mice that happened. How does it come into Rava? There was a certain person that came before Rava. Orila Kishmaitis. So Rava told him to do like the way that he said, that according to Rava, that both the Tanakhama and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would hold that normal bathing would be permitted the first 2 days of the Mila. So then he told him to do like that. So the Gemara says, Ichlash Rava. Right after that, Rava became very sick. So then he said, maybe Amar, Ana, Behadi Targawina, Desavi, Lamali. Why did I get involved in the Machlokas Rav Yehuda and Rabbi Ravua, who understood the Tanakhama was telling us the normal bathing is going to be prepared even on the first day of the Mila. So Rava was saying, maybe I got punished for not following their explanation. So Gemara says, Amrullah Rabban and the Rava about Tanaka Vasid Marva. Wait a second, the Braisa goes like you just said, like, why do you have to assume that you have any chashas about your Shita? Amr Lahus, he said back to them, Masnis and Kavasayu Daika, but the Mishnah seems to be more Meduyak, it seems to be more precise the way they explained it. Why is that? From what Lashon am I saying this? May the Kamar Abelazar ben Azariah, Omer, Marchitin as a Katan, Biomar Shishalish Chalios B'Shabbos. And he said that you specifically on the third day that you should you're going to bathe the baby. So Iyamat Bishlam Tanakam is often Gemara Avius and the Tanakam is assuming that you're allowed to sprinkle on the first day. So then he never mentioned anything about bathing. Hanit Kamar later, but those are Marchitzin that we're going to bathe on the third day. Eliyamar Tanakam Marchitzin Biyamar Rishon Kamar. If you assume the Tanakam is that you're allowed to bathe the infant on the baby on the first day, and then also on the second Mizalfin Biyamar Shlishi on the third day, then you are allowed to only sprinkle the water. So then, hi, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Marchitze, but Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, who says that we're allowed to bathe on the third day, that's not the right wording. It says, we're also allowed to bathe him on the third day, because you hold that you agree with me on day one and day two, you're allowed to bathe. So I'm saying, for day three, you should be holding the same way. The Lashon does not meduyok if you assume that they were saying that you'd be allowed to bathe on day one and day two. If you assume that they're only holding that you're allowed to sprinkle, then it makes sense that he would be just saying the Lashon Ustam of Marchitin, that you don't have to say af, because he's not coming to include the first 2 days which Tanakhama agreed with fundamentally, that you'd be allowed to be bathing. So the Gemara continues, Kiyasar of Dimi, when Divi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amar Rabbi Elazar, he said in the name of Rabbi Elazar, Halachah Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Halachah is in the father of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Havu ben Rabbava, and right now they were running about the Shita, Chatzis Kol Gufar, Chatzis Mila. When Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah said that it's mutter to sprinkle, did he say it's mutter to bathe, to sprinkle the entire body? Or only. Sorry, chatsa. So you are bathing. So you're bathing of the baby's entire body, or bathing only the mila. So the Gemara says. So he said, the Gemara said, "Amar Rabbanan Rabbi Yaakov of Shmei." So the Rabbi Yaakov was the Rav who entered this. "Pestavra chatzakol vo." Your pashas, you're allowed to bathe the entire baby's body. Why does it called that? For chatzas mila, for assuming only Rabbi Lezer only allowed to bathe the area of the mila itself. Migar mechamana gamemaka. Why is it any worse than hot water being put on a general if someone has a wound on Shabbos? Damar Rav, because Rav tells us anyone in chayvin shemen gamemaka on Shabbos. Rav holds you're allowed to you don't stop someone from putting hot water and oil on a wound on Shabbos. So, Maskev, Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, Kasha says, "V'lo shana lach ben chamen shukma Shabbos l'chamen shukma erev Shabbos." Wait a second. He says, Rav Yaakov, don't you make a chiluk between hot water that was heated on Shabbos and hot water that was heated on erev Shabbos? Rav argues, our Mishnah is allowing you to heat water on Shabbos itself. Then obviously it's going to be more chamor than the case, and it will only allow you to heat up one limb. So that's the case. The third day of Mila, Rabbanan said that it's going to be usher even to sprinkle because there is no danger, and that Rabbi Lazar is going to allow you to do normal bathing of the wound because he holds that there is a chash sakana. So therefore, we have no proof as to whether or not the entire body would be allowed by Rabbi Lazar Azariah. It has nothing to do with that point on Shabbos. So just to point out, we say on Shabbos itself. So big machlokas in the Rishonim, if you could have heated it up before and you didn't have a chance to, and now it's the time to do the mila, would be allowed to do that? That's a big shaila. If you're putting yourself in a situation to do a mitzvah, which will then be knowingly putting yourself in a situation where you're going to have to do pikuach nefesh. In general, it's a big shaila. Well, machlokas Rishonim whether or not that should be okay. That comes up also, the idea of putting yourself in a situation where you're going to be matzah yourself to do an isser of violating Shabbos. Let's say people have hatzalah. I think Rav Shlomo Zalman used to recommend that they shouldn't accept early Shabbos if they know it's a very likely chance they'll be called on a hatzalah call, because pikuach nefesh is only dechuya, and if they can try not to do it, so then they should ideally make Shabbos at the regular Zman. Either way, the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Maskev Rav Dimi." Rav Dimi asks a kasha. "My da'acha b'chamet shukma b'Shabbos pligi." Who says we're discussing whether or not you're heating water on Shabbos? Dilma b'chamet shukma b'erev Shabbos pligi. Maybe they're arguing even where you heated up water on erev Shabbos, and that's the machlokas is going to be whether or not you're allowed to bathe your entire body. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye Ana Ba'ina Deshtanalei." So I wanted to answer Rav Dimi's kasha, and Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef did it. V'kada Mishani Lav. Rav Yosef answered it. Mipnei Shesakana Ulo. Because the Mishnah is clearly talking about a case of sakana, and therefore, according to Blazer B'Dozer, we're bringing matzah all 3 days, the Rabbah in the first 2 days, and there's no, and since there's an actual danger, obviously heating up the water would be allowed also. It's Marnami, Kiyas Ravad, and Rabbah B'Alam, Rabbah Alazar, Bembra, Rabbah B'Alam, Rabbah Ochran, Allah, Rabbah Lazar, Bazar, the Alchaz, and Father, Rabbah Ochran, Allah, Rabbah Nazaria. Bain Shechamin, Uchma, Shabbos, Bain Shechamin, Shechamin, Erev Shabbos, Bain Achaz, Gufa, Bain Achaz, Milab, Nesha, Sakana, Yilab, because it is a danger for the baby, and therefore we're going to be Makel, like the Shita of Rabbi Lazar ben Azariah. That is the Shaila. Okay, so then the Gemara continues. Gufa. We have a question. Amar Rav. Rav said, "Emon and Chamin Hashemun Malgabe Maka B'Shabbos." Shmulamar notes, quotes the Maka. Rav says that you don't have any issue putting the hot water and the oil on a wound. However, Shmuel says, no, you shouldn't do this. Rather, you should only put it on the outside of the wound, B'Shabbos V'Yad Mata, and then it's going to flow down, the oil flow down onto your wound. You shouldn't put it directly. According to him, it's Aser, it's Adur Refuah, Shabo. Mesi, we have a question of Rav. Enos and Shemin V'Chamin Algabe Moch Litan Algabe Maka B'Shabbos. You're not allowed to put oil and hot water onto a soft cloth in order to put that on a wound. Sounds like it's Aser, not like Rav wants to say you're allowed to put it on directly on. Hasim Mishum Schita, no, there in the right specific about what you're going to squeeze out. Nothing to do with the Eser of Tochen and the Eser of looking of doing Refuah, but rather there it looks like you're going to be squeezing, and squeezing is Aser. Tashma Enos and Chamin Rishon Algabe Moch Shalgabe Maka B'Shabbos. Similar thing. Not to put hot water in a soft cloth that is on the wound on Shabbos. Hasanami Mishum Schita, there too is also going to be usher because of Schita squeezing it out. And where's the Tanaka Vasa the Shmuel? If a Bryce is supporting Shmuel, Ain Hostin Chamim Shem Lagami Mako Shabbos, not to put hot water and oil on a wound on Shabbos. Aval Nostin Chutzamaki, you're allowed to put it outside the wound, Vishosav Yerad Lamata, and then it's going to gently flow down onto the wound. Okay? The Gemara continues, and the Gemara says, Tanar Abana Nostin Lagami Mako, Moch Gavish, Svo Gavish, Avalo Gemi Yavish, Lo Krikish Yavish. You're allowed to put on a wound dry cloth or a dry sponge, but not a dry reed or not a dry cloth rag. Why? Because these reeds apparently, in Ezra Duranan, lights are going to come to do a token only on the second half. The Gemara says, Kashuk season, next season, but wait a second. When it comes to the cloth rags, the first part of the price is going to be a stira to the second half. In the first part, the Tana is saying that it's mutter to use this moch. In the second half, it's going to say that it's also to use these dry cloth. The Gemara says, Lokasha, habachati, habatiki. The second ruling, we're talking about the new rags, which apparently those are able to help you heal. Therefore, there's going to be usher, because refu on Shabbos is usher. However, atiki, the ones with the old rags, those are going to not have healing effect. Therefore, it's no reason to say that they're going to be usher. They would be mutter to use on Shabbos. From Rabbi Yishmael, Hanek, Sisin, Masu. We can learn from here that the new cloth rags are going to be used for healing, and those would be helpful. Okay, we'll pick up with Safek Vandriganus tomorrow.